1039 LI News Radio. News Radio. Your station for local news and information.
Well, another hat thrown into that ring. And here to dissect it for us is the great Henry Shinecop. Shinecop Communications, the full-service strategic communications company extraordinaire, headed by the great Hank. And we welcome him back to LI News Radio. Henry, first off, why do I have to endure the Bernie show round two once again, sir?
Well, the whole thing is outrageous. You know, we used to start our presidential campaigns about Labor Day and end them on Election Day, and that was normal. And then the 24-hour news cycle began to extend it. This is really something that began in the 70s, 80s. And now this is going on, it seems like, for years, because it is years. And now we have a bunch of U.S. senators in this thing who generally don't have higher probabilities of winning. Most of our presidents come from governors, although Obama is an exception, certainly. But most of our presidents are governors or heads or military people. And this is a new phenomenon. We have all these senators, so I wonder who's doing the work of the country while such a significant portion of the Senate is out there campaigning for president. As to Bernie, well, it's his moment, or his last moment, not because of age, because those who adore him and admire him have done a great job of screwing up, for example, the Amazon move to the Amazon, Amazon HQ2, making sure that doesn't come to the region, and making sure, in fact, that people look at this region and wonder why they should come here to be aggravated in the first place. That's what's fascinating to me. So, in fact, Bernie Sanders has had a tangible impact. The feel the burn has had a tangible impact on our politics and our economy.
What, he's 77 years of age, I do believe, now. So, you know, maybe almost 80 when the games begin. But, listen, not that age is a factor. I'm just wondering how much it will deter true candidates with true visions. And I'm talking about a guy like Joe Biden. Do you think this will have any effect as far as to announce? And we know he will, but news of this, you know, you kind of wonder and everything else. What about that aspect of it, Henry?
Do I think that this has that kind of impact? I don't think so. If Biden decides to go, Biden will go. And he's likely the most popular person among centrist and center-left, slightly left Democrats, and certainly conservative Democrats. I mean, if there is anything left of that Clinton coalition, then he's the – and what he gets from Obama, having been Obama's vice president, he is the beneficiary. And maybe a ticket like Biden, you know, Kamala Harris is the one that has the best shot of defeating the Republicans. But I would not count out Donald Trump under any circumstances. And anyone who does is just plain foolish. Long way to go here.
Henry Shinecop with us. Hank, you bring up Kamala Harris, very serious candidate indeed. I mean, do you consider her the leader of the field currently right now?
Of the people that have announced, the answer is yes. Now, the question is, how do you make that determination? What's the measuring device? And how do you measure her against Bernie Sanders? She has much greater reach than Bernie does. I mean, his goal, and I think Senator Warren's goal, is to somehow swamp New Hampshire, either or, because they're neighbors, right? Him from Vermont and Senator Warren from Massachusetts, and that would be their way of making sure that they can stay in the game. But because there'll be some eliminations after Iowa and after New Hampshire, the problem here is that it is really about front loading heavier states like California, and the problem that everyone faces of South Carolina, which has tended to be the place where candidacies of late have died. Why? Look, the Democrats turn out in a Republican voting state, and they're primarily African. That may not be African, but they're significantly African American in population, and you have to give the edge there to Kamala Harris, which makes her a much more likely candidate. You know, much more likely victorious candidate to that point, and a complicated field with many, many players, more than we have likely in the past. or will have, it kind of gives her the edge very, very significantly. It's a way to sort out candidates without question.
You know, a Joe Biden, Kamala Harris ticket wouldn't be too bad, would it?
It would have a lot of what the Democrats need. A Catholic man, white Catholic, who could probably bring some of the voters in the Midwest back when the Democrats have lost. He goes to the center of the party. He's a popular figure. The age in the era of Lipitor and who knows what else, age becomes less significant, although it is a factor, but less significant. But he may very well occupy that space of the benevolent aged Democrat who can bring people who are alienated from Democrats back to the fold into the center. And Kamala Harris, by positioning, would bring a significant number of people on the left. But she would create an African-American and woman turnout, which the Democrats need badly. And they would be very competitive, for sure. Not even a question. And then there's Amy Klobuchar. The looks of that one seems to be that she's been encouraged by former President Obama to get into it. She's extraordinarily capable, courageous, from a part of the country that might bring those white men back, or some portion, which is what they need, because you can just draw out the South. We won't win Southern states in a general election. She's very, very appealing for Democrats as well. So could you have a Biden Klobuchar ticket? That's also possible. But would that turn out African Americans? Who knows? I think that there's an argument to be made that if Biden were the nominee, that President Obama, former President Obama, might be engaged to campaign hard for him and for that ticket, and that would make the difference. That might make the difference among African Americans. He did the campaign with the same intensity for Hillary Clinton, and not that that would have made a difference, by the way.
That's an excellent point. Biden Klobuchar ticket. Absolutely, you would capture that neck of the woods, the white male, the whole thing, as you mentioned. Hank Shankoff with us. You know, the 16 states now, California leading the way here with this lawsuit on his national emergency declaration, Henry. You know, it's interesting to note, and again, it goes somewhat under the radar, but you got to note it in the fact that all 16 are governed by attorney generals of Democratic nature here. Let's keep that in mind.
Yep. Well, there's no question about that. I mean, the era of bipartisanship is kind of gone. You know, we've gone to the extremes. We've discussed this on this program before, on both ends of the spectrum, both Republicans and Democrats. And yeah, there is partisanship in this, but there's also probably good law. The law is the concern here. Whether you are a Republican or Democrat, it should make people wake up. The President of the United States cannot just do what he wants, whatever he wants. This is not he's not an emperor, nor is he a king, nor is he given power by God. He has to respond to a legislature, and he has to live with them. This is a clear attempt to extend his powers. And we know what's happened when presidents have extended their power beyond that which was given to them by the Constitution. Start with the Korean War and go forward. And there's a lot of dead American boys and women who paid the price for presidential power that goes unchecked. And this is not a good idea. If the president can interfere in the funding decisions made by the Congress, then his power can be extended to other areas just by fiat. And that would not be a good thing to protect the Constitution of this country. So whether you're Republican or Democrat, if you believe in the strict construction, if you're a strict constructionist in any way, this is not good news. And should the president be successful in trying to get around the Congress, this would be a good idea. Not good.
No doubt about it. Henry Shankoff with us. You know, it looks like, according to a Justice Department official at least, that Rod Rosenstein will leave in the middle of the month, March. Deputy Attorney General, we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen. But all in all, his departure, kind of expected, Henry, you know, with a confirmation, I think, of William Barr last week. And, you know, this guy's been on the job a couple of years. He oversaw Bob Mueller's investigation. Jeff Sessions recusing himself. And, you know, it's just been a very topsy-turvy type of situation for Rosenstein. in the last, I would say, 8 to 10 months. But, you know, you kind of had a sense this was coming.
No news here. You get burned out. He is a career Justice Department official. He reveres, as he should, as every American should, that department and its pension for good. He has overseen an investigation the likes of which this country has not seen, except probably going back to Iran Gate. Although this portends in some ways to be more serious than that, and certainly more serious than Watergate. And he's done it well, as he's a Republican. The nation owes him a debt of gratitude, because this could have all been badly managed with bad decisions and general incompetence, and it was not. And he took tremendous pressure on behalf of the protection of the law, of this nation's laws, and I think that he should be congratulated and commended, although there are certainly people in the administration who will heave a sigh of relief. They should not, because this is not over by a long shot.
No doubt. And I'll tell you, you know, this whole Andrew McCabe situation and the 60 Minutes deal and really, you know, I mean, how much emphasis going forward, McCabe's comments and everything else to the president, Henry, I mean, and where do we see this thing going?
What this tells you is a very simple rule in life. Don't be mean. If you deny the guy's pension the day before he's about to grab it, what do you think he's going to do? Go out and do whatever he can to undo you, what the president did to him. So does the McCabe book and the McCabe interviews, do they have an impact? Well, they'll likely sell books, no question about that. Are they going to impact the outcome of the investigation? No. Robert Mueller, as long as he's there, will continue to do an unbiased frankly, effective investigation. He is the longest serving. He was the longest serving FBI director in history. He transformed that agency after 9/11 to a much more cutting edge intelligence activist, a department to meet the moment, the challenge of international terrorism. This country has been well protected by that system. We owe him a debt of gratitude as well, and he will do his job without fear or favor. He's another Republican functioning in a nonpartisan environment, just like as best they can, just like Rod Rosenstein. That the law comes first. So this is it is all unconcluded, long way to go. And McCabe is a temporary blip on the screen.
You know, it'll be interesting to see what comes out of North Carolina, the state today, Hank. You know, you could have possibly criminal ballot fraud going on here. The last undecided congressional election. Marred by falsified signatures, documents that just disappeared miraculously, I guess, blank ballots that were filled in by people hired by the Republican candidate, according to election officials. You know, this is a real mess that we're seeing unfold here. And again, the ballot fraud. A new election for the 9th congressional district, but you know, we'll see how this shakes out. This political operative hired by the Republican, Hank, this Mark Harris, apparently leading a very coordinated, unlawful, substantially resourced absentee ballot scheme here in last year's general election. I mean, that's unbelievable what's going on here.
Does not look good for the political consulting profession when someone like this, even an allegation, can appear to be breaking the law and be paid. To not get caught breaking the law. Not good news. And the indictment, if there is to be one, if the charges have any, if the allegations have any validity, would be a good thing. Why? Protecting the ballot box is goes to the core and the nub of American politics. The symbolic nature of the ballot box, that people have some means of redressing grievance in a nonviolent and legal fashion, is critical to democratic functioning. So this has to be concluded in a way that appears to remedy the problem through arrest, indictment, and hopefully conviction if someone's accused of this stuff, because it is that serious. And the good news is we now know that you just can't blame the North for this kind of voter fraud, but you got to blame other places as well.
No doubt. And it's illegal, by the way, folks, in the state of North Carolina for anyone. Excuse me, other than a guardian, I believe, or a close family member to actually handle a voter's ballot. obviously because of the risk that it could be altered before being counted there. So, you know, tough happenings in North Carolina. I mean, you know, the February 27th meeting between the president and Chairman Kim, is this just more window dressing that'll happen in Hanoi? I mean, do we expect Kim Jong-un to actually do away with nukes altogether? Listen, or is this gonna take a couple of summits?
You know, Trump understands he understands stage direction very well. And Americans used to love and still do variety shows. And this is like an old-style variety show out of Trump's cohort. You know, where you'd have people, you'd have an animal act, and you'd have a magician, and then you'd have a comic, and then you'd have a singer, and the thing would go on, and you'd clap and applaud. But this show has got to stop. Why? Look, if you don't have, I said to somebody at the time, look at how, they said to me, look at how we went to Korea. I said, look at how they're getting along. I said, getting along. How about a letter of some kind that would be normal in these kinds of cases, indicating discussion points? How about a statement, joint statement afterwards, talking about specifics and dates and times for deliverables? What's happened instead is that we have the show, we have the variety show, but the country is more endangered because he's not stopped the production of nukes. It's and the Chinese have not helped the president very much at all. And they have a lot to say about this. And the only trading partner I think the North Koreans have is China. So to say that somehow there's no relationship between hostility between the United States and China and North Korea being used against us, which would be the smart move by the Chinese, is to really be false. Where is the letter after the meeting that outlines what was undertaken, what was accomplished, and what the future goals are to outline the next meeting? Where's the communique? It doesn't exist because nothing's been accomplished.
Yeah, does not exist at all. Finally, I'll end with this. You know, I'm looking at this third term so far for Andrew Cuomo. Be careful here. This is a tough one for him, and it's just beginning. You know, the success in luring Amazon to the island, to Long Island City, scuttled, we know, last week. You know, listen, I know third terms are never a good thing for many, but, you know, this one seems to be the worst of all. I mean, you know, you look at a guy like George Pataki, Mike Bloomberg back in his day, you know better than anyone. I mean, Ed Koch, even Mario Cuomo. I mean, quite frankly, I think this governor might have ignored some of the early signs of being in for kind of this ride here, you know, including last year's corruption conviction, Joe Prococo, the Buffalo Billion revitalization disaster. We know that. But certainly, you know, you look at this Amazon deal, and, you know, you wonder if he could have somehow averted a disaster, maybe had meetings with Michael Gennaris, public meetings, city councilman Jimmy Van Bremmer, you know, maybe for missing a message when voters ousted members of the Senate's independent Democratic caucus, which, by the way, share control of the chamber with the minority of the Republicans there. You just wonder where Cuomo missed his marks here, Hank.
No good deed goes unpunished. What do I mean? Well, he helped the Democrats get the Senate back. Smart move. But they never forgave him for not helping them get it back sooner. So he is paying the price for that. The legislature is not in love with the governor by any stretch of the imagination. They are going to prove that they have independence now that the Democrats control both chambers. And thus far, it's resulted in not good news for New York. I mean, people can try to justify the loss of Amazon, but it puts a red light around the entire state saying, corporations, please don't come here because you're going to be embarrassed in public. So the governor was embarrassed, but the state was overall embarrassed. Third terms are not charms. Why? It's called you're running against yourself on a daily basis, and it's the governor or whomever versus been around too long. And unfortunately, been around too long tends to win because it's just been around too long. People get tired, the electorate has high expectations, it's hard to meet them, and with a recalcitrant legislature, it's going to be more difficult. But I think there will be a comeuppance on the Amazon issue, and that New Yorkers are not going to be happy. And the impacts, by the way, on Long Island not having Amazon are going to be very significant. Very significant. Throw in the passage of congestion pricing. Long Islanders are going to remember it all a long time.
And you throw that in, and you know we discussed earlier the AIM funding to be sliced. I mean, this is a guy now that wants you to use your sales tax revenues, something that both leaders here on the in the counties, you know, have fought for as far as internet numbers. You know, to get them back into the budget. Now you want to take it away. You know, in essence, it's a tough one, as you mentioned. You know, this congestion pricing. Listen, either go along with or get ready for a fare hike, which is coming either way, I think. So a tough road indeed for Andrew Cuomo these days. Henry, always a pleasure. Look
Thank
forward to the
you
next
very
time,
much.
Sir.
All the best.